Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Coffee Talk. Michael?
Buddy, it's been a while since our last program, but it's great to be back on Coffee Talk, the only podcast hosted by the Native Association of Canada that discusses the most pressing international issues of the day in the most thought-provoking manner possible. And in that spirit, I say, Let's talk.
Happy New Year, Michael.
Happy New Year to you, Fadi, and to all of our many listeners.
Yes, absolutely. It may be a year filled with
I just want to, before we go any further, and I'm sure you echo the sentiment, I just want to thank all of our listeners out there who sent me all of the holiday and New Year wishes. It's very much appreciated. Keep the letters coming. And I can't thank you enough for it. It's very nice to get.
Yes, absolutely. I think the letters make our days, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, we go into the office and there's a stack of letters waiting for us, and we know we've been listened to.
Yeah.
We know emails.
You know that there are people
messages.
Out there where we're making a difference in their lives, and they care.
Absolutely.
And you know that's enough to get you through any day. So thank you out there.
Now, let's discuss the latest issue of the day, the Canadian cabinet shuffle.
Yes.
In response to the election of Donald Trump.
Yes.
But although the media is trying to chalk it up as this very, Canadian-focused approach to dealing with Donald Trump, and they're saying that Chrystia Freeland has done a wonderful job as international trade minister. She's being promoted. She's on the way up. They're saying that Champagne, who is
Do you agree with that? I mean, I'm sure you can speak more to this than I can, but my understanding, you know, when you're reading the press coverage and they're talking about Freeland and how she did as international trade minister and how she, you know, was effective with the European trade agreement file.
Yes.
I mean, wasn't most of that negotiated by the Harper government?
Well, that's what I mean. The groundwork for that was done by the Harper. Not that I am.
Was there much that she had to do?
For anti. I mean, I'm sure she had to bring it to a close, especially in that dying days of the agreement coming to, or the negotiation where, small parts of Europe were actually trying to roadblock it, particularly in Belgium.
Yeah, Wallonia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, okay, she's done the work, but I mean, what I'm really upset about is the way Stéphane Dion was actually let go from this cabinet, including John McCallum. And these individuals have devoted years of their lives to public service.
Have we heard yet where Dion is going?
No, I think he's mulling his options.
We know McCallum.
We know
McCallum's
that
going to China.
China, but don't forget McCallum has huge ties to China.
Yeah.
But speaking of Dion, apparently he is going to Germany and the EU to be ambassador to both.
Oh, is that right?
A dual role. Or that's what he's been offered to do.
So he would be leaving Parliament Hill altogether?
Altogether, yes. Absolutely. And now it's his retirement at the moment. See, my thing is this. For people that have been serving for such a long time, like their performance or not, they should have been given a heads up and they could have retired gracefully, just bowed out and said, look, I'm retiring for personal or political reasons or whatever, and I'm leaving my job on Parliament Hill, I'm leaving my duties here, and I'm going to go into the sunset.
But do you think this move came as a bolt out of the blue? I mean,
I think it did come out of the blue for, at least from the way...
Don't you think it was almost inevitable that after Trump came to office that there was going to be... I mean, it's been said before that a Canadian Prime Minister, no matter what their inclinations, no matter what their policy agenda, there are three things that they invariably have to deal with that are always going to reach their desk. Number one is the economy. Number two is Quebec. Number three, relations with the U.S., just because of the sheer magnitude of the economic relationship.
Yes.
So in light of, Trump's election, which was really a seismic event and which has potentially enormous consequences for Canada's economy and its trade relationship. Don't you think it was almost inevitable that there was going to be some sort of response to this by the Trudeau government, in anticipation of Trump coming to power?
Well, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing on that. I'm just in disagreement with the way it was done, the way it was conducted. I mean, nobody deserves to be humiliated. And from the press release that Stefan Diop put out, he looked humiliated.
Mm.
And I was one of the people that disagreed with some of his decisions as foreign affairs minister.
Mm.
But I can tell you this much. If you look at his track record,
mm.
if you look at the history and the way he actually came to power, had he actually resigned in 2003 and went off to the sunset,
mm.
he still left his mark on Canadian politics and Canadian political and constitutional history. He is the father of the Clarity Act,
mm-hmm.
where he came in 1995 and pushed it through.
Yeah.
He is the father of, essentially the green shift, which a lot of people said it was a failure because it was an economic, an electoral failure. But I can bet you this, my buddy, that the policy was way ahead of its time. And when we talk about environmental policy today,
yeah.
the green shift was way ahead of that, almost 10 years ago to today.
Yeah.
And Stéphane Dion really put a lot of time and energy into his job, into 20 years of public service, 21 years. John McCallum.
Just sticking with Dion before going to McCallum, I mean, Dion obviously has an academic background.
Absolutely.
No one's doubting his intellect.
No.
But it does make you wonder if he's more, there aren't a lot of academics who thrive as politicians.
Yes.
It does make you wonder if Dion was sort of cut out for the trade-offs that are inevitable in politics that you don't deal with in academia.
Well, let's not forget.
I want to get your take, before we go to McCallum, I want to get your take on how you think Dion performed as foreign minister and your response to a lot of the press reports which were insinuating that one reason that Dion was being kicked aside was because of his prickly personality and how this would have impacted sensitive negotiations with Trump.
Yes, I...
So how do you think he did?
That's fine.
Or?
But the thing is this. I read an article by Chantal Hébert in French.
Yeah.
And she was discussing how...
The Toronto Star columnist?
Yes.
Yeah.
But she writes also for I think, Dubois?
Yeah.
It's one of the French language newspapers here in Canada for non-Canadian listeners.
Our many non-Canadian
yes.
listeners, yes.
She actually wrote an article saying that he was forced to make some of the most controversial decisions by the PMO,
mm-hmm.
as foreign affairs minister, like
such
the Saudi arms deal,
yeah.
which he was heavily criticized for.
He was very defensive.
A number of these controversial, like the Yazidi ISIS genocide issue, apparently he was actually forced by the PMO to make these decisions and to come on the side that he didn't really want to come on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And he, so if that's actually indeed the case,
mm-hmm.
then we really can't, we really have to put the blame on the PMO for making such awful strategic errors,
yeah.
and forcing a minister to take that role of being the communicator of such awful strategic errors, and then blaming him for being strategically bad at it.
Well, that's politics, right?
Absolutely.
The PMO office is always going to... or the PMO, I should say, is always going to try to deflect blame.
Absolutely.
So...
Absolutely.
No. How would you assess his performance as foreign minister, and how much of this shuffle do you think can be attributed to his so-called prickly personality and how that would have resonated in Washington?
My question is this: was it really a secret that he was a prickly person?
Yeah.
Was it really a secret that he was an academic before
no.
he was appointed in 2015?
No.
I mean, everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, he was the leader of the Liberal Party at a time when the Liberal Party was just sinking.
Yeah.
And you know what? He managed to do better than Michael Ignatieff in the polls. So that says something.
Well, neither one of them, both who are well
regarded
academics. I don't know if either one of them was cut out for
being leader of a political party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's one. The other one is John McCallum.
Mm-hmm.
Look, John McCallum may have made... I mean, I have never seen a cabinet minister so enthused by the file he was given.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as immigration minister, he was on TV frequently.
Yeah.
He was talking and communicating about the government's agenda and policies, and he was doing really well at it.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a surprise for me, and I think... See, what really bothers me...
So why do you think they moved him?
I mean, what really bothers me, I think this whole move is not about strategic, it's not about Donald Trump, it's not about the election in the States. It was just a way, a signal by the PMO to say, out with the old, in with the new.
Mm-hmm.
Because John McCallum or Stefania didn't do well, but they were completely shuffled out of cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But Mariam Munsif didn't do a very good job as Democratic Reform Minister.
Yeah.
But she was shuffled to another ministry.
Yeah.
While Hajcak, is that how you pronounce her name? Who was Labor Minister, was also shuffled out of cabinet.
Yeah.
Without actually being shuffled into another role.
Right.
So, was it really about age? And if it is, then, you know, that's ageism.
Mm.
I mean,
shallow.
And what it really bothers me about Munsif's actually shuffle, we have a Prime Minister who said that he is a feminist.
Yeah.
And he made it clear that his top priority is to ensure that women's issues are actually, and issues of gender and gender relations are
and
actually the forefront of
50% of the
cabinet. And yet you demote somebody who did not do a good job to a ministry where you think it's lesser than all other ministries, which is the status of women ministry.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be a minister who is completely competent and completely able to do a very good job at that job?
You would think, yeah.
Yeah. So you would think Justin Trudeau would not put an incompetent minister as a sign of demotion in a ministry that he made so much noise about at the beginning of his term.
Yeah, interesting.
So, and really, if you look at other than foreign affairs and international trade, the cabinet shuffle was really about internal policy. Labor,
yeah.
Status of women,
yeah.
Democratic reforms. They have nothing to do with the United States. I mean, the vast majority of the shuffle involve individuals who are going to be working internally, on internal economic and social policies.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with the United States.
Mm.
I mean, the immigration minister does not deal with the United States on a daily basis.
No.
It's the international trade minister and the foreign affairs minister. And really, if you look at the foreign affairs minister, she was part of Global Affairs Canada. She was the international trades minister.
Yeah.
So it's not really like a huge shift in policy.
And I mean, before this move, as I understand it, she was chairing the Cabinet Committee on U.S.-Canada
relations.
Yeah.
So it's not really, you know, this huge shift in policy.
Yeah.
He did not bring, you know, people who are new and they, you know, they're just sitting there waiting. And actually what I was surprised about, there are a lot more capable people who are older in the Liberal caucus who are not brought into the Cabinet at the expense of younger people, the 29-year-old from Burlington, who is now the youngest cabinet minister in Trudeau's government. And it's such an important and extensive file. And he has individuals with a whole lot more experience in those files in the backbench.
So when you say that you think that this reshuffle had nothing to do with the election of Trump, and it's more to do with internal politics and policy, would you say then that the Trudeau people... aren't concerned about NAFTA, the future of NAFTA, and Trump's repeated promises to renegotiate NAFTA?
Well, I'm not saying they're not concerned.
Yeah.
I'm saying that they have their people.
Yeah.
Like, Chrystia Freeland, be it as international trade minister or foreign minister, would have had a role in the NAFTA negotiations.
I guess now, though, she gets an even more prominent role.
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine the international trade minister has more of a prominent role in those negotiations because it is ultimately international trade.
Yeah, you would think.
You know, it's about trade. It's not about foreign policy per se.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, Canada's borders with the United States. It's not about Canada's, you know, larger relationship with the United States.
Yeah.
And yet, also, I think it's a sign where, you know, we're sending a former cabinet minister to China. That also must be a signal that our relationship with China will change. It is more political now.
Well, the government painted it as McCallum's going to China as part of a concerted effort to negotiate a trade agreement with China.
Well, actually, concertedly a bit, that former politicians are becoming ambassadors in this matter.
Mm.
Because really, traditionally, we have a very nimble civil service,
mm-hmm.
With ambassadors that come up the ranks of the civil service.
But with, I mean, often though, in terms of ambassadorships to high-profile countries like
yes.
the U.S. and Britain,
that's generally,
I would say China's
France.
In that category.
Well, China's
going,
now new in that category.
I mean, yes, but it is there now.
Yeah.
You will get high-profile countries, you're going to get high-profile
figures,
political,
yes.
not all the time, but
yeah.
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And that's always been that's been a long-standing case with the U.S., for example, where you get politicians who have no diplomatic experience
yes.
per se.
But they are politicians and close to the party. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Anyway, on that note, I think we've analyzed this shuffle quite a bit.
And I agree with you. And to our listeners out there, if you want to hear more about this, let us know and we can tape a future Coffee Talk episode
yes.
About this very topic. And keep the letters coming. Let us know what topics you want us to discuss, because at the end of the day, we are here to serve you.
We are here to make sure you are familiar with the dishes of the day.
Absolutely.
That's what Coffee Talk is about.
Absolutely.
On that note...
It's a community service for
yes. On that note, Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you again.